I will turn this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, and also chapter 13 of the book of Luke. If you'll turn with me, now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein. And he looked, and it should, that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Another thing before we get into the message this morning, it's a real thrill to have all the children here this morning and see them. Well, in Luke chapter 13, there is another reading that I want to pass along to you. There was present at that season some that told him, a Galilean whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except to repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Are these 18 upon whom tower and Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He speaks also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, or of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and found none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And they answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now I want to talk to you this morning from this passage of Scripture. I'd like for you to underscore in verse 8 of your Bible, let it alone this year. Let it alone this year. 1 year's probation. Let it alone this year. Now the first reference of this scripture, or the direct reference of this scripture, is to the nation of Israel. Jesus is speaking here. You must tie in the parable of the fig tree with those remarks just preceding. For it was those remarks that gave avenue and vent and middle range to the parable. So Jesus speaks here of these that have been sacrificed with heathen sacrifices. And he said to them, do you suppose that these Galileans were, they were wicked, they were sinful above all Galileans, just because that Pilate mingled them with their sacrifices? What about the 18 men on whom the power fell? Were they worse than the other men that were in town, that was around in the streets? Jesus said, I tell you, nay. But then he said, except ye repent. Now he speaks to the disciples. Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he gives this parable of the fig tree. And let me, before we get to the parable itself, I want to preface it with the thought of the Jewish nation. This fig tree symbolizing the Jewish nation, they had all the privileges, you might say, above any people or any nation. They had a better knowledge of God. They had a better knowledge of his plan of salvation. They had the covenant blessings pronounced upon them. And if there should have been any tree bearing fruit, it should have been the fig tree of Israel. Because they had these already. And the Bible said that the owner of this vineyard come and he sought for them. And you're reminded that the owner came 3 years in succession, which is symbolic of the 3 years of the ministry of Jesus, that he was here upon this world. The Bible said he came to his own, the Jews, and they received him not. He looked for fruit on the tree, but it did not find any. And then he comes to the dresser of the vineyard, the servant, and he said, I will get a cut it down. Do away with it. Why cumbers it the ground? Because I've come 3 years now, and it's only given me reproach instead of credit. It's the reproach to the face of God's people. The Israelites have not upheld their testimony. They have not upheld the name of God. They have not followed through on the knowledge of the prophecies of the book. They knew that the Messiah should come. And now that he has come, they have not accepted him. He said, cut it down. Don't let it come to the ground any longer. Because not only is it going to stand there on the ground and not bear any fruit, but it's going to hinder those other trees that surround it. It's going to take out nourishment out of the ground that they would like to have. It's going to take the moisture out of the ground that other trees, fruit-bearing trees, need. And it's not going to do them any good. So just cut it down. So he justly determined to abandon the fig tree. But then the dresser of the vineyard, he comes around and he said, now Lord, give it one more year, one more opportunity. This is the intercessor of the vineyard. This is the intercessory of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is typical of the time when God said, "Let me alone, Moses, and I will destroy these people that you brought out of Israel." Moses said, "Oh God, you mean your people? You're going to destroy them?" He said, "They're not my people. They're your people, Moses. They're your offspring." Moses said, "No, God, they're not my offspring, but they're your offspring." Moses said, "God, if you're going to destroy them, just blot my name out of the book and I'll go with them." God said, "All right, I'll leave them alone." And then whenever Jesus comes, they fail to accept him as the Messiah. And the Lord comes to cut the tree down and go away with it, abandon it. The dresser of the vineyard comes back into focus and he said, "One more year. Let me dig around. Let me fertilize. Let me do what I can." And in that 1 year, oh God, would you fire the soul of the prophet? Would you somehow put a deeper flame in the heart of the apostle? Would you somewhere or other move upon that big tree? Upon them and let them hear the glorious news of the gospel that the Messiah has come. Let us give it to them with all the fervency. Let us tell them again another year that there is pardon for Jesus Christ for the sins of the world. Let us reaffirm that he that was to come is now here. The Messiah has come to fulfill the promises of God's word. Let's tell it to him again. Let's sing it upon the hills. Let's somehow pray that the hearts will be softened, that they'll hear the glorious news and they'll be saved. But listen, I want to leave that part of the story right there. I believe there's a better lesson that I'd like to make this morning. And I believe that this parable is a designation of a warning that sounded out to all gospel listeners that we too may be falling short of following through upon the message of Jesus Christ. What a high privilege you have this morning sitting in a Pentecostal assembly. I do not say that from the standpoint to try to tell you that this assembly or the Pentecostals are the only people on God's earth that are saved. I do not mean to imply that, but I do mean to imply one thing. My brother and sister this morning, once you partake, and once you taste, and once you hear of the glorious Pentecostal message, and once you receive in your heart that divine anointing of God, I want to assure us this morning that we're held accountable under God for more than the people have, who've never listened, who've never found, who've never tasted of the joy and the glorious call of the Spirit that we have this morning. What a challenge. What a call it is for the Holy Spirit to call us. God says to you and I, let it stay one more year. Give me another opportunity to dig about it and to dung it and to fertilize it and to refresh it. What the dew of heaven and bid it bear no fruit, then we'll take it down and cast it out. Well, I want you to notice something this morning, that God has ordained us to bear fruit. God has said in the very beginning of creation, there was to be reproduction after their time. When he created the animals in the field, he said, go forth and replenish and populate the earth after your time. He commanded them to reproduce after their time, male and female, after their time. When it come down to the fowls of the earth, he said, let them reproduce and multiply after their kind. When it comes to humanity, he said, let them multiply and populate the earth after their kind. When you come to the flood, in the sixth chapter of Genesis, the Bible said that God commanded Noah to allow two of every kind to go into the ark, his male and his female, and every kind into the ark. It was for the purpose of reproduction. And I hope this morning the Holy Spirit would help me to impress deeply on your heart that God's divine program for Christians this morning is the reproduction after their kind. If every one of us in this church house this morning would determine that 1-12 months from now we would have talked to our credit one soul for the kingdom of God, we would double the attendance that's here this morning in 1-12 months time. God said to reproduce after their kind. The order of reproduction, God has put down in the book of Acts. But he said, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the earth. My Bible tells me that it used to be from door to door and from house to house, reproduction after our kind. Hallelujah! Why the early Pentecostal church never had a building, they never had any organization, they didn't have a church to go to, they didn't have a superintendent of the Sunday school until they had over 8,000 in attendance and in membership. They went from house to house and from door to door. Oh, may God help us this morning. I believe the Lord is shaking our trees. I believe he's inspecting the fruit that is upon the branches. The Lord has come. I wonder what he's going to find. But the Bible said we are to reproduce after our kind. Now in the book of Acts, chapter 5 and verse 9, you have the solemn story of where Ananias and Sapphira had agreed together that they would hold that part of the price of the property that they had sold. And when they come into the house of the assembly of God's people, Peter endued with the Holy Ghost, he said, where hath Satan failed your heart that you would lie to God like you have? And at that moment, Peter followed up. In a few moments, his wife came in. And she was asked about the situation and about the question, have you agreed together that you would give your possessions to the Lord and that you would bring it to them? Yes, we have. And then Peter said to her, why has Satan first never to agree with your husband in this thing? Brother, they were reproducing at the bell time. There is a reproduction this morning, regardless of what side of the fence you and I might be on. But I'm glad for God that our hearts can be filled with His love and with His joy and with His power and with the spirit of anointing, and we can reproduce after our time. Oh, hallelujah. So whatever's in your heart, whatever's in your mind, whatever saturates you, whatever attitude you have, you're going to reproduce after your time. May God help us. But our challenge, but our command is spiritual and righteous reproduction. And oh, Brother, this morning, I know that you'll agree with me that we're living in an age and in a day and in a time whatever darkness has ever been as far as spiritual powers are concerned. And if ever there needs to be fruit on the tree, if ever there needs to be the blossoms that showing out the light of His love, if ever there needs to be the beauty, it needs to be now. God's divine righteousness empowered and radiating in our hearts and our lives. So let's get the order of this New Testament reproduction. Jesus went up, the Spirit came down, and the church went out. Oh, brother, that's always the case. Jesus went up, the Holy Ghost came down, and the church goes out. My God, fill us this morning so full of the power and of the love and the power and the constraining influence of the Holy Ghost that we cannot hold still and we cannot see Christ, but we'll be about the Master's business, reproducing, hallelujah, after the time that God has made us. Why don't you take a little analysis of yourself this morning? If God said for us to reproduce after our time, Sister Buck, how would you like to have another just like you sitting in the seat by the side of you? Oh, hallelujah. Sister Hoagland, how'd you like to have another just like you sitting on the pew by the side of you? Sister Brian, how'd you like to have one just like you? Brother Barker, how'd you like to have a man sitting on the pew just like you, reproducing after your kind? When you say that, you say, my God, there's nothing good about us but what the Lord has put there. And you can lift your hand if your heart is rejoicing in His divine forgiveness, and you can say like Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. Hallelujah. If you see me a little bit at a time when I'm not just like Jesus, just blot that out of the way. Forget that ever happened. Amen. Hallelujah. But follow me as I follow Jesus. For in the depth of my heart, I want to reproduce as to my kind. Hallelujah. I want what God has given me to be alive in somebody else's heart. Oh, praise God. I want them to have a spark of the faith that is alive in my heart. I want them to have a testimony that God has given me of first divine blessing. Reproduction after our kind. Oh, hallelujah. 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 But let me hold you on. I want you to notice that there was a damage without reward for the owner of the vineyard and for the people of God. A damage without reward. The Bible said in this passage that He planted them in His vineyard. But this certain man had planted a vineyard, planted by the hands of God. There is no better fall. There is no better curse that can be taken of that big tree than that which was given it. And yet there is advantage without the Lord following. I noticed that when he came, there was a new fruit thereon. In Numbers 24 and 6, the Bible said the tree which the Lord hath planted. And in Psalms 1 and 3, the psalmist said, we like the trees that was planted by the rivers of waters. In Psalms 92 and 13, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the kingdom of our God. Oh, hallelujah, brother. Let me emphasize to you this morning, let you know, Jesus, you have been planted by his divine hand. But that's not all. I want you to notice that this big tree belongs to someone. Someone has went to the extent of buying the vine and tilling the ground and pulling out the weeds and loosening up the soil and putting on the fertilizer and watering down the ground around it. Someone has went to the expense and it went to the trouble and it put themselves to the difficulty of planting that big tree in the midst of the vineyard. The Bible tells us in this writing in Isaiah that the beloved had planted a vineyard and he said he had fenced around it. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I might have to get somebody up here to help me this morning. I feel like I'm about to have a runaway. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The master of the vineyard had purchased it. He had went to the trouble. He had went to the expense. He had went to the labor. He had went to the bother. He had went to the time. But not only that, but he placed a fence around it. And it said, it belongs to me. It's mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One of the saddest times in my life as a boy on the farm was when my dad had went to the bank and borrowed money. And he had bought a lot of onion plants, special cotton seed, special type of corn, and we went to the trouble and tilled the land. And we planted the seed in the ground. And then when the seed popped up, just out of the ground, the dry weather set in. That little young plant would duck its head, wither in the hot sun. I'd see Dad come in at night. That shows it would rain. I sure like to see some thunderheads. I like to see the showers fall upon this plant, this planting. And then whenever the time come, the rain didn't come, and the sun kept scorching, and the heat kept blistering, and the plant died in the early stage. Dad had to go back to the bank, make another loan, buy some more seed, and plant it over again. I can understand a little bit maybe how this order of the vineyard fell. And he said he went to the expense. And he went to the bother. And he went to the trouble. There was no reward. Actually, he's paid the bill. Not he spent the labor. Actually, he's plowed the ground. Not for his part of the seed, after he's part the crop, and then it comes up and it doesn't do anything. A man has a right to expect some fruit from his labors at the harvest time. But it's a sad day when it doesn't come about. But I want to tell you this morning, saint of God, you have been privileged to sit in his house. You have been honored to wear his name. You have been blessed to be saved at his expense. He paid the price for you. And after that, you're wearing his name. And you're living and dwelling in his house. And the joys are filling your heart. There should not be any reason why that he should not expect reward from the light. But here he is. Here was disappointment without a cause. For the Bible said that he came to the vineyard and he sought for the fruit. But he found none. Why would then the leaves must have been on the tree? Because that is not, if it had had leaves on it, you wouldn't have to see. He could look at the barrel and smell, there wasn't anything on it. It must have had leaves on it. There must have been a time that it had the blossom and the blooms on it. It must have looked beautiful before the dresser of the vineyard to say to them, God, cut it down, just let it have another year. There was still possibility within the old tree. So he said, let's wait. Now he came and sought fruit thereon, but he didn't find any. I want to give you a very solemn statement here this morning. God has his eyes upon everyone that is a gospel listener. You have heard the glorious gospel news of Jesus Christ. He's got his eyes on you. There is something that he's looking in dividends and rewards from that life. That he's not looking from the old boy that hangs out on Spitting Little Corner. He's not looking out of the man that has sold his life out to alcoholism. He's not looking to the Beatles or whoever they might be. He's not looking to the dope rings and the dope addicts this morning. But he's looking to those that have heard the glorious news of his power to save and have felt the thrills of his divine blessing upon their life. There's the one that he's looking to. Now the leaves will not do for the master. Neither will the blossom satisfy his need and his heart's desire. But there should be a response to the gospel that would be nothing short of thrilling to the master. The Bible says, unto those that look for him shall he appear the second time. But it's only to those that have an eye set. It's only to those that have the response in their heart that focuses their eyes in that direction, that keeps this uppermost in their heart and in their mind. The Apostle Paul said in the first book of Thessalonians, chapter 4, but it said, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. As I have said before, let me repeat it to you then. Go home and get the Bible down and read that passage of Scripture. You'll find out that Paul said, we which are alive and remain. Now, if a soul that has the breath of life in them is still going to be on this world when that takes place. But Paul didn't say if a Tom, Dick, and Harry that is breathing physical air and pumping the physical blood, taking in physical food, was going to last to meet him in the air. But he said, we which are alive, we which are alive, just said this morning, probably when you come to church, well, I hope Brother Luna is alive this morning. I hope he's not dead in the pulpit. I hope there's something about him that has a tinge of life about him. The actor that goes out on the screen or on the stage, he said, I hope we don't have a dead audience tonight. They mean they hope there is a response in that audience that will respond to the program that they're about to put on. And Pastor Paul was looking far into the future of the glorious time that Jesus was going to come. And he said, we Christians, which are living and responding to the Holy Spirit, when he comes, we're going to rise with those that come out of the grave to meet him in the air. God is looking for a response in your heart and life this morning. You've been privileged to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God wants you to know, and God wants you to feel, and also God wants you to produce. But then there's another thing. Here was intercession. Without the proof of repentance, the intercessor comes and said, now, Master, let me have it one more year. I want to dig around it. I want to take a little special care this next year. I want to put a little bit more fertilizer on it. I want to water it a little more often. I want to care a little bit better. Maybe I failed. Maybe I have been the one that has failed in this process. Why there's not any fruit on the tree. And oh, Master, just give me one more year with that tree. Just one more 12 months. And I'll see what I can do. I want you to know he was hopeful, but he was not hasty. For the Bible said that this was 3 years that he had come to that tree and he hadn't found a thing on it. Whatever year he comes, maybe I'll find some this year. Maybe I'll find some this year. Maybe I'll find some this year. And when it comes to the third year, he said, cut it down. It has no right to come to the ground. It does not intend to bear fruit. I have not been hasty. I've given 3 years opportunity and probation. But nothing has developed. God's patience has been stretched out into long suffering. But I want to talk to you right down in your heart this morning, friend. How many times three has God dealt with your heart through the Holy Spirit? And you still are not responding to him this morning. You still are outside his wonderful blessing. You still this morning are not yielding to the gospel message and allowing the gospel of Jesus Christ to take a hold of your life and produce the fruit in you. How many times three? Have you heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and it is called you to repentance? What a wonderful call. But then the Master said that it was barren and also that it was fruitful. There will nothing hurt the kingdom of God anymore than a barren tree that still wears the name. Amen? Nothing will hurt the kingdom of God anymore than a barren tree, no fruit on it, that still wears the name. That's the reason I sincerely believe, folks, that you can go downtown and you can stop men and women on the street and say, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? They say, well, I'm a church member. I belong to a certain church. But that is not the answer to the question. The answer to the question, are you responding to the voice of God's Holy Spirit? For the gospel of Jesus Christ, is there fruit producing in your life? Is there something for a hard-hearted sinner to get a hold of? Is there a satisfaction when the Master comes to check the fruit trees of the vineyard out? And then I'm hurling to a call, and the dresser of the vineyard said, let it alone! One more year after them, cut it down. And there will be ruin without remedy after that next year. God has put several men and women on probation in the history of the book. And I would to God this morning that we could understand. Just recently I heard a beautiful story of a man that's taken real severely sick. Fine Christian man. And he prayed a prayer to God, and he said, God, if you'll spare my life 10 more years, there's a work that I want to see done for the glory of God. And if you'll spare my life 10 more years to do it, I'll be found even more diligent than what I've been in the past. I'll work hard at the job. And on a Sunday night, just before the 10 years was up, that big statue of a Christian gentleman, the soldier of Jesus Christ, he stood in their little church that he had requested the prayer before. And he said, folks, this coming Wednesday, my 10 years will be up. God has given me 10 years. I'm so thankful. The next Wednesday, he and his wife were driving to an appointment. And on a side highway, there came a man rolling into an intersection. He and his wife were riding in the front seat he was driving. Another man and his wife was in the back seat. The automobile was scarcely torn up very much. He and his wife instantly went on to glory. The man and his wife in the back seat didn't have one scratch on them. The man and his wife in the front seat that were killed never had a broken bone. They never had a spot of blood on their body anywhere. But the king knew that. And he went home to be with the Lord. Let me this morning try somehow to implant upon you the desire of the dresser of the vineyard. He said, let it alone 1 more year. I wonder, Palmer, would you come to the organ? I wonder how many in this audience this morning, as you're searching your heart under the weight of the Holy Spirit that's in this congregation, and you'll say, God, I know that I'm not producing the fruit out of my life that I want to produce.